Sports, mankind's greatest endeavor. For centuries, it has separated the boys from the men, football players from their brainstems, and continues to this day to spark the fire of healthy competition in the hearts of its players.
Hey, Killian! Here's Sub-Zero! Now, Plane Zero!
Apocalypse Video and Immortan Hoof Auto present the third installment of Hot Dave's Summer Film Fest. Live from the Thunderdome in Citadel, it's the Summer Games.
On your marks! Get set!
Killian,
I'll be back. Only in a rerun. Go!
Hello and welcome to the final installment of Hot Dave Summer Film Fest, Part 3, The Summer Games. I'm Bobby Unitas, and I hope you've been pumping up in the gym, because we've saved the best sport for the last sport, Death Sport! So, get ready for puns and guns as Arnold Schwarzenegger closes out the Summer Games with everyone's favorite dystopian death sport, The Running Man!
In the year 2017, an innocent man accused of a crime has a choice. Hard time or prime time?
Sensational. Perfect contestant. I want him.
He must pay or play the running man.
On your mark!
I'll be back.
Go!
The highest rated TV show in history.
Guess they want us to stay.
It's a game between life and death.
Give you a lift.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is the running man. He's playing for a prize. The prize is his life.
How about the life?
The running man.
Hello and welcome to the final installment of Hot Dave's Summer Film Fest Part 3, The Summer Games. Or should I say, game show. This one, like, when we were watching it, I was kind of almost like, oh crap, should this not have been selected for the Summer Games? But technically, at some point, it is referred to as a sport. I'm pretty sure a character refers to it in that manner. Am I wrong?
Do you want to finish introducing the movie, the show,
good
and
point,
who's with
good
you?
Point, good point. This is why you need a court-appointed entertainment
lawyer
to help you with these things, the fine details. I'm your host, Dave. I'm joined again by lead stalkers, Mike.
I'm not into politics. I'm into survival.
And finally, last year's lead stalker, Cody.
This is a sport of death and honor. The code of the gladiator.
Wait, was that a quote from a movie, or just are you just saying that?
That's, yeah, they say he says it in the movie.
Okay, I couldn't tell because it, well, sounds like something you would.
It's, ooh, just how, sorry, I live my life. As you can see, I have it tattooed across my chest.
What's the matter, Mike? Steroids make you deaf.
It was in the same scene. It was right there.
They did actually, Dave. They did.
So, is this the first time watching Running Man for anyone here?
It's the first time I ran.
Wow. Oh, wow. Okay.
Welcome to the run, man.
And were you aware that this was based on a story written by Stephen King? Richard Bachman.
Wait, no way, really?
Mm-hmm. Very loosely, but a lawsuit determined that it was actually a remake of a French movie.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Yes, yeah. The book, The Running Man, it is very similar. The guy's name is Ben Richards, but the idea is it's like John Wick in that he can go, like, in the Running Man book, it's the one person they volunteer, they can go anywhere in the world, but anyone can try and kill him. And if anyone kills him, they get like $1 million or whatever.
Oh. Have you read the book?
No, I'm just really good at researching on Chattopedia.
That sounds cool.
And then the French movie is more specifically like there are volunteers to hunt and volunteers to run. And then whoever kills gets $1 million or whatever.
Yeah, sure. French, they're probably all unionized. There's probably a lot of paperwork to actually kill the running man.
Yeah.
I love that there's enough stories that you could base enough stories like this that you could base a movie on. Movies, stories like this are a dime a dozen, hunting the humans.
Yep. Everyone loves The Most Dangerous Game.
Hell yeah. And what a way to wrap up our summer film fest here.
Dipping our toes into sports entertainment.
Yes. Like this is a movie I hadn't seen in a while, and I gotta say, this was a ride, man. Like, this was fun. It was amazing how many before we started I was saying that I had written down, out of all the episodes we've done for the Summer Games promotion here, this is the episode I've written the most amount of notes for. And a lot of those notes consist of like lines that background characters speak in the background that, like, I never heard before and are insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like specifically, like, the ads. Like, one of my favorite tropes of a future movie, a dystopian future movie in particular, are things like this, where you'll see an ad on TV where it's like, get your procreation pills, adults and kids, you know? It's just like, what the hell? And I love that type of stuff is in the background. It's never necessarily expanded on, but it's just there for color, you know?
It's so RoboCop.
Yes.
It's funny. Like, they came out. I was thinking, like, oh, did this steal from RoboCop or did RoboCop steal from this? But they came out the same year.
Nice. It has, you know what it has is it has that very, like, 80s dystopian future, which is like, oh, you know, capitalism run just, like, rampant. It's going to look like this. Like, the dystopia of the excess of the 80s or whatever is like a version like this. I was thinking about this, and if you were to make a dystopian movie, you know, before we got sucked into the vortex, if you were to make it then circa 2023 or whatever.
Yeah. Just to pick a random year,
just hypothetically, if you were to make one, then I don't know that you would ever make one that looks like this, because it seems like the dystopian future of that is like the global wastes, you know, it doesn't feel like, oh, this can go any worse without getting disastrous. You know what I mean? Like, not like, oh yeah, society seems to function. It's just we're all addicted to violent TV. It's like, no, man, the globe is going to melt. That's the dystopia.
There is like some common things though. Like, you would probably see like a couple megacorps running the world, like an Amazon or,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Like Elon Musk, Lord Protectorate of the Northern Hemisphere or something.
Oh, God, giving him a fucking Game of Thrones title. Lord Protectorate of the Northern Wastes.
I appreciate that this movie runs, too. Like, the pacing of this movie is really good. It's only an hour and 40 minutes. In fact, in reality, it's only really an hour and 35 minutes, because the last 5 minutes of this movie, surprisingly, for a movie from this time, is just the song. The end credits song.
I'm seeing it's 101 minutes, Dave. Where you get? Did you watch like some sort of like?
Oh well, it might have been like a thing they might round up or down or something. It might have been like an hour 40, 30 something seconds or something like that. At least that's what was on my timer. But
yeah, an hour and one is it or 101 minutes is an hour and 41 minutes.
Oh, okay, yeah, I was misreading.
Mike, we know you're not big on, like, you don't understand hours and how they work. You don't have to.
Time, yeah. Numbers.
It's the steroids, man.
How to read.
But I appreciate that this movie runs at a clip, and it just nothing is wasted in this movie. Like, there, it's everything leads to. I mean, I'm not saying that this movie, like, the script for this movie is, like, you know, Oscar worthy by any means, but like I appreciate that there's, you know, there's no fat to this movie.
I would argue there's a little bit of fat, and that's
a little bit.
And it's,
I think there's a lot of fat.
Yeah, a lot of fat.
A lot of fat. Okay.
Did you see the people of this movie?
I would say the little bit of fat is the frequent cuts to the audience or the locker rooms or like they're constantly going like, here's what I guess like a yuppie office party looks like, who's watching this, here's what this place looks like, who's watching this, and you know they do that a lot, which is kind of, you know, it's fine,
hilarious.
That is, in my opinion, that's where the fat is you're like, we probably don't need all of this. But I wondered if that was added after the fact because they're like, either the movie's just a little too short or it has a weird tone, because it feels like they constantly go back to those reaction shots, and it's probably important, right, because the whole movie's about controlling an audience, and it's all about their emotions of, like, do they believe, whose side are they on? When the woman decides to bet on Ben Richards for the next, you know, kill, that's, like, the big turning point, is the audience is now turning against him. So it makes sense that they have to track that journey with the audience, but at the same time, it does feel you're like, damn, okay, this is, they just entered the first quad at minute 40. The movie's, like, the running is beginning at minute 40, and we're like already cutting a ton to these other people. So that's where I would argue there's a little bit of fat.
I could see that, but like I honestly, every time you would have a scene where Arnold's like getting chased by Sub-Zero or something like that, or a scene where someone's, or like, you know, the nerdy guy's like, oh god, you cut back to the audience like, yay, and like Richard Dawson's handing him board games and all these wrapped gifts. I love that stuff. Like, to me, that's kind of like fun world building, and also to speak to the audience's journey, that's one of my favorite things in the movie. Like when Arnold eventually defeats Dynamo, the opera singing, I don't know, electricity guy.
Yeah. You nailed it. Opera singing electricity guy.
He has the titular gladiator type moment where it's like, no, I will not kill him, you know? And what I love, the audience reaction isn't like, oh, he's a good guy. It's like, boo, morality sucks. Yeah, he sucks.
They fucking hate him.
Cut! Go to commercial! Jesus Christ! I have no power! Cut! Go to
commercial! Hey! No. I won't kill a helpless human being. Not even sadistic scum like you.
Well, it's funny because they're so devastated when he kills the other stalker.
Yes, it's so brutal to them. They're like, oh no, someone good is dying. And Richard Dawson turns it on her, you know, Killian, and he's like, oh, let's have a moment of respect. He was a patriot. He died pursuing the law. And you're like, this is fucking insane how bloodthirsty these people
Cody,
are.
Cody, I would like to donate to the stalker's families.
Oh, yeah, send a check to the television studio and we'll take care of it. Ridiculous. All right, real quick, Mike, why don't you hit us with the plot of this movie real quick? Broad strokes.
It's dystopian future where, like, the only thing that keeps society together really is this show called The Running Man.
Because people are bloodthirsty maniacs, apparently.
And I think we should describe The Running Man because this is a sports festival.
Yeah. You gotta go over the rules of the sport.
We gotta talk about the sport.
Talk about the sport.
So the sport, feel free to any of you running heads, jump in and correct me if I'm wrong. Because I'm not a jock, so.
Although I do take steroids.
I do.
It's for aesthetics, it's not for performance.
It's just so I can keep going deaf. So the Running Man is basically convicts. You know, if you're like going to be sentenced to death or some horrible crime, you have the option of going to the show, the Running Man, and participating in this blood sport. So you are dropped in a area that I'm a little unclear. Like, I don't think it's a game field. I think it's just a part of the world that sucks.
That suffered a massive earthquake like years ago.
Right. And they've just abandoned it. And it's divided up into four quadrants. And the idea is you have to start in quadrant one and literally run all the way to quadrant four. And while this is happening, There are obstacles, if you will, along the way. And in particular, there are stalkers, which are wrestling stars slash American gladiators.
Fully basically. American gladiators. Like, just American gladiators, period. Yeah.
These are people with, like, character names. They have, like, their own bits, and they're sort of like celebrities. Because they're in these again and again. And the stalkers will chase you and kill you.
Well, touched me!
It's not just that they kill you. It's that specifically, what is it? Anything goes! I think that's it, right?
Explosive hockey pucks?
That's the sport. Yeah, that's...
that's the sport. So the movie is Arnold Schwarzenegger is a cop, and he's ordered to fire on a food riot. Basically a protest of, like, described as basically it's orphans and children wanting food.
Yeah, truly the most like sad. It's like, oh man, it's just women and children. They're rioting.
Kill them all.
To hell with you.
So he doesn't. He doesn't. He defies the order, and then they, like, basically frame him. The government, like, shoots him anyway. Frame him to say, like, he the one who did it. He's wanted now, and to escape his conviction, he gets on the Running Man and now participates in the Running Man. And of course, he's Arnold Schwarzenegger, who wins over the hearts and minds of everybody while he's playing the Running Man, does really well. And over the movie, people realize the truth of why he's there and what's going on.
The unedited raw footage of the Bakersfield massacre.
Kind of big thing at the end is they see the unedited footage of him, like, being like, no, I will not kill the women and children.
The hen with you. One of my favorite lines in this movie. The hen with you.
The hell with you.
I love all the, like, obviously edited footage they play.
I know,
show,
it's
like,
wild.
How bad he is. It's funny. It's funny, and it's also, like, a dystopian thing that I could see nowadays, like,
oh, sure.
Not necessarily, like, just edited stuff, but, like, deep fakes and everything.
Yeah,
like,
it very much has that vibe of, like, oh yeah, this shit isn't that far off from the modern day.
Yeah, I remember certain people editing videos of, like, the January 6th riots and stuff to be like, oh, look, it was actually just like this or whatever. And yeah. Yeah.
It was all rainbows and smiles at January 6th. No fires at all.
But yeah, I'm curious, like, so this is my first time seeing it. Have you both of you seen this before?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I saw it. The first time I saw it was when I was in high school. I have something here on my Chattopedia. A new set of mutant monster miniatures has gone on sale. And if I don't buy it right now, I'll miss out. So I've got to finish putting in
It's the Ben Richards collection he's trying to get a hold of there.
Yeah, yeah.
Describe one of the mutant monster miniatures for
One of the mutant monster miniatures, it looks like a giant brain flying with six tentacles coming out of the bottom of it and has a big beak. And it's called, I believe, the Neurophage.
Although, I think that's one of our regular customers.
that's sick that they made a miniature of him. That's so rad. All right.
He's a big fan of the beach.
Well, this is actually perfect timing, because, like, let's talk about the you mentioned the obstacles, the stalkers. Let's break them down, because they are characters. The first one we get is Sub-Zero, who you may have recognized as Francis's butler in Pee-wee's Big Adventure. And this,
they had to have, like, Mortal Kombat got this from this, right? There's no way they, it, like...
Come on. How? Yeah, where else would Sub-Zero come from?
This was before Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yeah,
there's
definitely
one thing I know about Mortal Kombat, especially that first game, is they were just
stealing
taking
everything.
Stuff from movies.
Yeah. Sub-Zero was fun because, and this was actually a welcome inclusion, I forgot about this, because a little behind the scenes for the Summer Film Fest programming here, originally my pick was a hockey movie called The Cutting Edge with Rob Lowe and Patrick Swayze. The idea being, all right, last summer, Patrick Swayze, he kind of brought the house down. We got to get another Swayze movie in here. Unfortunately, The Cutting Edge apparently is a movie that no longer exists.
What do you mean?
Couldn't find a copy of The Waste?
Like, we couldn't find a copy of The Waste. We didn't have a digital file, so unfortunately, we couldn't screen it. But like I said, thankfully we still get a little bit of hockey included in the Summer Film Fest here with Sub-Zero. And what's fun about this is like he incorporates the game of hockey into his stocking.
Yeah, there's an ice rink in Quadrant 1.
For whatever reason, Quadrant 1, yeah, leads you to that. Real quick, I do want to take a, I'm sorry, just a slight running detour back to the overall plot of the movie, which, yeah, Ben Richards is a guy who's framed, but the first, like, half hour of this movie is about this kind of, and I mean, the movie starts with a Star Wars-esque crawl, which that has typos in it, which is pretty funny.
Oh, it does?
Yeah, for sure.
I was thinking more of a Blade Runner-esque crawl. But...
Well, I mean, it has that too. It's about him escaping prison, seeing this burgeoning like resistance that exists, and trying to flee. And then it's not until truly minute 30 that he's caught and then put into the Running Man. So it's like a good chunk of the movie before it really kicks off. There's this resistance element. He goes through the Running Man and then exits the Running Man. He escapes him and Amber escape the game itself. It's okay. They're deep fakes to be killed. And then they break in and the resistance takes over the studio.
Led by Mick Fleetwood.
Yeah. Which is just, I just wanted to mention that because it that was my thought where it was like, oh, is this fitting our sports movie call? You know, because it's like, actually, it's so much about this other thing, too.
This resistance.
Yeah. And I wasn't here for the Rollerball episode, so I'm kind of curious how they compare, because it in my memory of seeing Rollerball, only having seen the 2000s Rollerball, it feels similar, right? It's a barbaric sport that's, you know, a part of this other thing that's going to happen. I was just curious about that.
Was the 2000s Rollerball a Rob Zombie joint?
Honestly, it should have been, but I don't think so. I think
it'll shock
like...
you. The director was John McTiernan.
Yes,
director of Die Hard and Predator.
That's right. And that was the movie that he like went to prison over, right?
Because wiretapping.
He was wiretapping all the people involved in making it.
What the hell?
What a movie. I said this before in the Rollerball episode, but what a movie to go to jail for. The Rollerball remake.
Say what you will about Rob Zombie's directorial abilities, but I don't think he's ever wiretapped his.
It's because he doesn't care enough to do it. That's the thing. All right. So anyways, back to the Running Man.
I appreciate that Sub-Zero integrates hockey into it to the point of having explosive hockey pucks and what looks like a Venus flytrap hockey goal that envelops you. Like,
what's interesting to me about Sub-Zero and he's a hockey guy, great, but he's specifically done up to be a hockey goalie, which, you know, it's okay. He's got more pads and stuff, but it's more slow. It's more bulky, and I guess it's because Sub-Zero is so big. But it's odd because, you know, other players on hockey, they have they have different helmets. You know, they don't need the pads. They could move faster. I don't know. It's interesting.
It's funny. I mean, like, there's clearly some theater going on in these stalkers. Like, if it's just about killing, like, they would just show up and, like, with a gun and shoot
him. Captain Freedom shows us right at the end, near the end, when he's getting called up, he's leaving the announcer thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's the like, best acting in the movie.
Take this shit off me. I'm not going to do that. I used to kill guys like this with my bare hands. This is a sport that has honor. And, like, that's when that line happens. Is he's
the,
like,
the code of the gladiators.
I don't want to wear this fucking medal. Just let me go out there and strangle this guy. Which is funny because you see throughout the movie these photos of what he was. Like, he's looking in a mirror, he's like, the glory days. And he does just look like a wrestler. So he's still theatrical, just not, like, not done up like Sub-Zero is.
Well, he's Jesse Ventura, who was a wrestler, right? Yeah. Yep.
Forget it, Killian. I won't do it.
It's not a request, moron. It's an order.
I don't need this crap. This stuff is garbage! I was killing guys like this 10 years ago with my bare hands! I'm not going for any of these tricks! This is a sport of death and honor. Code of the Gladiators!
Cap, will you spare me the combat Zen speech? What the hell's the matter with you? This isn't a game! They're betting on Richards up there!
Bullshit!
Get out of here! Get him out of here! What's the matter? Steroids make you deaf? Get him out of here now!
While we're talking about let's skip ahead a little bit. While we're talking about the stalkers, Jesse Ventura, what's his name again?
Captain Freedom.
Captain Freedom.
Captain Freedom. I No joke. There is no irony here in what I'm about to say. This is a totally legitimate comment. I thought of the best brief little moments of acting in this movie was from Jesse Ventura. And it wasn't the line where he says, like, this is the code of the gladiators. It wasn't that. It was when cuts to Captain Freedom watching, like, you know, in this room with all these people. And at this point of the movie, people are, you know, the fans are worried. Like, oh my God, we've lost two stalkers. This is never... They say in the movie that a stalker has never been killed. So this is a big deal.
Oh, do that. I missed that line. That really puts in perspective.
Yes. Everyone's worried. But when Dynamo starts to chase down Arnold and Amber, you cut to this party and you see Jesse Ventura and he has this sort of like this little smile that's like... Yeah, maybe it'll work out after all. You get him, Dynamo. You know what I mean? Like, I wish I could show you this clip that this is a video podcast, but the look that Ventura gives, it's like the look of someone who's like not quite sure if it's going to work out, but like hopes that it will. I don't know. Maybe it's hard to kind of explain. You just have to see
his
face. No,
I know exactly what you're talking about. It's so he's not at a party. He's in the back room.
Right? Oh, right.
That's where all, yeah, it's like the green room.
Yes.
It's like the green room for all the wrestlers. It's, you know, it's like wrestling when they go to, oh, we're going behind the scenes now. And they're like, you know, they're hanging out, you know, partying before the thing. But he has a look to him of like, I am invested in this sport.
Yes.
And I'm invested in like how the game is done. Like he's very much like he's like a purist of the sport. You know, if he knew that they were deep faking stuff all the time, he'd be like, this isn't what the sport's about. And that's probably why he left in the first place. Now he's, you know, an announcer. Like he's like, I can't be involved in this new version of Running Man. But I feel you, Dave. I think he's actually really good in this movie.
Yeah, he's not bad. And I'll say, like, I think one of the problems I had with the movie in general is that I think those performances are, like, few and far between. Mm-hmm. Like, not a lot of people, for me, pop in this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, Arnold is Arnold, right? Yeah. But even Arnold, this is, like, B-plus Arnold. This
Careful,
is not
Mike,
B-plus
unless
Arnold.
You want a pen stuck in your back.
He doesn't pop in a very big, like, this isn't Arnold doing Conan the Barbarian, which is a very specific thing.
No.
This isn't him doing Predator. This is some weird, like, middle of the
this
road.
And I couldn't, maybe this is not fair, but I couldn't help in my mind be comparing this to Total Recall, which is very similar. And like, Arnold is so dang good in that movie.
He's weirdly restrained in this one.
Yeah.
Like, he's not allowed to pop off. There is one thing about Arnold slash Ben Richards in this movie, which is, he seems to be super strong, and it's not remarked on at all. Like, when he first shows up to what he thinks is his brother's apartment,
yes!
God only knows what his brother looks like, and he ties up Amber, and then he just rips, like, bolted concrete, like, equipment from the ground, and you're like, oh, okay, so the dude's superhuman strong.
Now I'm going to untie you, and then you're going to get dressed, and then you're going to come with me.
Oh, yeah? Well, why should I?
Because I'm going to say, please.
Well, why didn't you say so?
It's a bit of the Jingle All the Way problem, where it's like Arnold can't just be like a person.
Did you guys ever see, just another thing that came to me. In the beginning of the movie, he's flying a helicopter. Have you guys seen The Sixth Day?
Yes.
No. Okay, great film.
That's the clone movie, Mike, for context.
Yeah, it's the clone movie. But in that, he's also a helicopter pilot in the beginning of it. And he's probably a helicopter pilot and more. But it's funny because Arnold is not built like a guy who would be a pilot of any sort. That was a thought that occurred to me. Is like, for one, yeah, he's not built like a pilot. Pilots, you got to be a specific size because, it fucks with the fuel and whatnot. But also, the running man, they talk about when they see him running, they're like, look at him. He's running like a majestic beast. And you're like, this guy runs...
Weird.
It's like, and he's a huge target. He's just square, you know?
He's like Tank Treads.
Yes, yes, yes. And if this movie was made, like, in the 2000s or whatever, it would be Tom Cruise. That's who you cast.
Well, do you know who initially, the person they initially wanted was?
Christopher Reeves.
Yes.
What? Superman?
I think, himself. I mean, to speak to what you were saying about, like, you know, Arnold's this giant form, this giant square running around. Christopher Reeve was a big, tall guy, but he didn't have the same type of frame as Arnold.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, really? You telling me somebody doesn't have the same frame as Arnold Schwarzenegger?
But I think
that's crazy,
like,
Dave.
I could see that, and like I think Christopher Reeve probably would have. I imagine they could have leaned into a more angle of him being innocent and trying to plead for his innocence, whereas Arnold's just like, "Fuck you," you know. It's just like,
the hell with you,
Arnold. Arnold comes out of it. I do love any movie that's like, okay, here's our hero. He's fucking in jail. Like, he's in prison. Like, Conan the Barbarian starts out, and he's on the wheel. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like, cool. That's... Here's a guy who came, who's coming from nothing, and watch him destroy the world.
See,
watch
that's the major downfall of all these people. It's like, as we learn from Conan the Barbarian and this movie, you don't let... If you're going to punish Arnold, don't let him lift. Like, that is just... Don't do it.
don't punish him to physical activity beforehand, because he's just going to grow a glorious beard and be given an iron will to destroy.
Literally iron. He holds these iron bars.
I have to say this. There was... So one of the... We're talking about some of the influences this movie might have had or might, you know, impact. I was getting really strong Hideo Kojima vibes from this, like thinking like he's probably like a big fan with like some of the... stalkers being like Metal Gear Solid bosses or whatever. But you said punished Arnold. Mm-hmm. And now Punish I'm just Snake. Thinking of punished Arnold. Punished Snake.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly like that. You know, it's also, okay, there's so many, this movie, the way you kind of struggled with that, like what you just said of like, is it an impact? Is it an influence? Is it an influence it had? Or is it something that it did to something else? The Running Man, it has so many things in it. They're like, this is so similar to other things. RoboCop, great example. The set when they do the establishing shot of Los Angeles, it's Los Angeles in this movie.
Yeah,
it looks so much like Tokyo in Akira. That's what it like the city looks like that. It also looks like Blade Runner, just maybe not as designed as Blade Runner. Is it a movie that?
It's definitely, Blade Runner, RoboCop, Total Recall. Yeah, maybe a little Akira.
It's just, is this a movie that came out and, like, it didn't do gangbusters. Like, it wasn't a huge movie as far as I can
tell. It's referred to as a moderate success.
A moderate success. Is it a moderate success with just the right people to, like, influence art further down? You know what I mean?
Well, I think all that stuff just came out at the same time. Like, I think Akira was already, even if the movie hadn't come out, like, the manga was a thing. And I think it did come out in like 87.
The movie came out in 89.
Total 89. Okay, yeah, and that's when Total Recall came out, was 89. And RoboCop was 87. Blade Runner, 82. I think, was like 80. Yeah. So I don't know if, like, I'm hesitant to say, like, what this influenced. I mean, it's certainly, I will plant my flag and say this influenced Sub-Zero from Mortal Kombat.
I think we can all agree. 100%.
But I think it's a little bit of like, it's just
that
like,
was the milieu of the time,
as was the style of the time. Yeah.
One thing, real quick, I don't want to forget about this. You were mentioning that like Arnold is like a superhuman in this movie. I thought it was hilarious. Like, and I think it's funny that you mentioned Total Recall, Mike, because if you recall in that film, there are several instances where he gets hit in the nuts and he like. Argh! You know, whereas in this movie, when he gets hit in the nuts by Amber at the airport, he barely reacts. Like, I had a thought in my mind, like, when that moment happened, like, a little box popped up on the screen in my mind and said, crotch shot, it's not very effective. It's just like, because he barely reacts, he just runs off.
He's probably wearing padding.
Maybe, I don't know. Or the steroids use have decreased his genitalia to a degree where they're non-existent. But the superhumanness in this movie is off the charts for an Arnold movie.
But not, because it's not like remarked upon. It's not like he doesn't.
Well, that's what makes it funny that they don't comment on it.
it's not like he does something when he's fighting the stalkers and they're like, oh my god, this guy's a freak. He's so strong. Like, none of that happens. It's just like, okay, he throws some stuff at a guy and then he kicks his tank and he lights him on fire. Whatever.
Like, it seems like. As we said, the style at the time, I remember Commando, there's a scene when he walks up to like this hideout or something and there's like this fence that's chained up. He just takes the chains and rips them off. You know what I mean? So it might have just been like, well, it's Arnold. Of course he's super strong.
Yeah, it's not this guy's super strong. It's like, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger. This is how strong he is. He gets to do these things, period, the end.
You know, can we talk about the outfits
Absolutely
he wears?
Absolutely we can. Great fits.
I don't
You didn't like the titular Running Man outfit?
No, that's bad.
There's something like not great about Arnold in this outfit. I don't know what it is, but it doesn't make me. It feels un-Arnold. Like I want some. I don't know what I would want different, but I like the outfits on the other people, and I like that we're wearing outfits for the game. That's fun.
I totally agree with you. I think the Running Man outfit that they put the runners in, you know, it works if this is like a Logan's Run or a T. You know, it looks like a sci-fi. Like these are the uniforms we all wear. It does nothing for our man Arnold. It does nothing for his muscles. I could see Christopher Reeves or anybody else wearing that, and you're like, oh yeah, I get it. This is like their weird.
It's like a sleek kind of ridiculously.
You
colored,
could say for running.
Yes, you could say that if you really thought about it. Yeah, you could.
They should have put him in like just like short shorts. It
should have been like he's put in the uniform
and like a tank top.
He's put in the uniform. You know, his bobsled crashes, and then it just like his uniform is just torn apart. Like he should be coming out of that sled looking like Doc Savage.
Or you have the great scene where they're like fitting him up, but they're like,
"Oh my god, he's too big."
Can we get an extra large? No.
Imagine that scene where it's just like, you know, they're suiting him up, and he's like, "Hold on," and he just rips the sleeves off. He's like, "Oh,
hold on."
That would rule. That would be so sick. Because I would say his outfit. When he's like escaping prison and he's like coming to his brother's apartment, he's like wearing like pants, a beard. He's got like a World's Gym, sweatshirt that has the sleeves torn off.
He's just wearing the Gold's Gym.
Yeah, and he's got like suspenders, and you're just like, damn, what a fucking dude! Like looking so good, best he's ever looked.
He's got his little metal lunchbox with him. That outfit was great.
I don't know. I think that's like for me emblematic of Saul. I didn't really like this movie.
Oh no!
And I think like I didn't. The hell with you! I didn't really like it. And I think like that the outfit symbolizes kind of the problems I had. Where I feel like my man Arnold's being put in a cage in this movie.
You know what?
Like, I want Arnold unleashed.
You're convincing me, Mike, because between the outfit discussion and I agree that he feels restrained as opposed to his other performances, it feels like Arnold is being caged, and he's not allowed to run free, despite what this movie thinks it is.
I do, though, like, again, to talk about outfits a little more, love the outfits on all the stalkers, right?
Yeah.
Like, for me, the stalkers were the highlight of the movie. Like, all the scenes with them was so good. I love that. It almost, to me, was like, is this, like, the proto Joel Schumacher Batman movies in a good way? Like there's a through line from like Dynamo into
Dynamo
Mr. Freeze
alone.
For sure.
Yeah.
And starring Arnold too.
The Dynamo thing, apparently that was a real opera singer and wrestler
that they
cast in this movie. Yeah.
Heroic.
It's funny too, because like there was speaking of Dynamo, there was a moment like when his little go-kart like tips over and he's like, I have no power. Like there was a brief moment where I'm just like, was this like just, it got me thinking about the recruitment process of stalkers, because it's all the other stalkers are like physical. Well, maybe not the Sub-Zero, but they're like specimens.
How dare you? Sub-Zero is definitely like an elite class power lifter, sumo wrestler.
Well, okay, so in the case of Dynamo, though, that is clearly not the case. And he comes off as a guy, like a normal guy that's like, well, you'll give me some weapons, right? And I could just drive around and shoot lasers at
people.
I
think he's providing his own weapons. I think that's like, yeah,
I think so?
I think the training process is probably like, you try out, be a stalker, see how effective you are. And like, he's probably bringing his own gadgets to it. And
Do you think his power of opera singing, his like vocalization powers, is what, like he uses that to energize Lightning? Like is his suit a theremin, and he's just like it's the reverse. He's like, oh, I'm making the noise, and it's generating this blast of lightning.
Yes, I absolutely think so.
I think so.
I think it's also an intimidation tactic. Like, imagine you're in quadrant three. It's like pitch black, and you hear off in the distance like,
No, you're right. It's absolutely, you know, and it's great because it's primetime TV and you want a little bit of a music thing, you know, like the viewers before the show, they get treated to a very erotic dance number
choreographed by Paula Abdul. Like, really? Yeah. I mean,
really?
I mean, Dave, talking about like we said up top, like there's no fat in this movie. Let's watch like a 5-minute half-assed dance sequence.
Okay. Yeah, so let me rephrase. Like, this is world building, you guys.
I would have loved. I would have. I'm not a
world building can be fat.
I'm not
to
opposed.
Be clear.
I'm it not can opposed be, to
but
the
I don't
idea
mind it.
Of
it,
a dance sequence. To be clear, like, I was kind of stoked, but it kept going, and it's like not that good. Like, that's the problem. It's like not a good dance sequence.
It could have been trimmed up a bit, but I like the moments where, like, you see the dance sequence and it cuts back to all the people outside betting on it, and you see these people, like, looking up at the screen, like, ugh.
the moves, if you haven't seen the movie, I was thinking, it reminded me of, I don't know what that song is, but it's like the white people shuffle at all the weddings, you know, like, put your left foot in, put your right foot in.
Yeah. You know, that's, I think, speaking of that, the dance, the you know, there's a lot of it. You think it's going to be, you're like, oh, fuck yeah, okay, a dance thing. This is wild. This movie is very much quantity over quality. It's maximalist, but yes, not, it's maximalist in what it includes, but not in any individual thing. Like, oh, it's a bunch of violence. It's not really gratuitous. Like, there's not a lot of, like, whoa. The craziest violence, in my mind, is at the beginning when you see the guy's head explode.
Yeah.
That's, like, the craziest thing. And then the kills after that are, like, mostly okay. I think
the buzzsaw
kill
great,
is the best.
The idea of that, because it's not like you do see blood, but it doesn't come across as like, oh my god,
you got
this
a buzzsaw
messed up
from the crotch. I mean, that's pretty. Can I also note the buzzsaw
scene? Not the visual.
I don't really knock this against the movie, but like, it was pretty funny. There's some scenes where Buzzsaw is like holding the chainsaw close up, and Arnold's like kind of holding it back, and there's some close ups, and you could totally see the chainsaw's like not on, and it's very obviously a not running chainsaw.
I do appreciate in this moment, though, that we get some great Arnold vein acting, like his veins and his face pop out, like, you know. I have to wonder. I've wondered about that in the past, like, and again, to bring up Total Recall, a lot of great vein acting in that movie, to the point where I'm just like, if you do that enough, imagine you do a ton of takes of that where you're like, where you're stressing that much, you gotta blow something, right? Something's gotta give, like in your face or your body, if you do that for a long period of time.
Yeah, you blow blood vessels. That's usually when stuff like that happens, is when you'll see like blood in people's eyes.
Oh,
is like that kind of thing, or their blood vessels will break in their face. Apparently it happens a lot in women giving birth as they break.
God.
I learned that from my mom, who was a nurse back in the day. But you know, Arnold, those veins, he's already vascular. You know what he's doing? He's getting a pump on, he's getting a little dehydrated, and then the veins are already there. And then it's just about flexing under pressure.
I was about to say, you think Arnold's ever at like a dinner function or something, and all of a sudden his eye starts to bleed? Oh, sorry, this is from my Running Man days. This happens from time to time, excuse me.
He probably doesn't even remember the movie Running Man. He's like, I made a lot of movies in the 80s. What one was this?
Oh, is that the one the with that guy, the perv from Family Feud, who always kissed people? Oh, yes, I remember that one.
Oh, that's right. That, I will, real quick, let's talk about him. Let's talk about him, because I think he really brings, he's like the other great performance of the movie.
Yes.
Right? I mean, probably just the great performance.
One of the great scumbag performances.
Are we talking about the guy who's like the game show host?
Yeah, Killian, played by Family Feud's Richard Dawson.
And he brings that experience
of
to,
being
like,
a scumbag.
Yeah, he brings the experience of being a scumbag perfectly to it. But also, like, what you mentioned earlier, Dave, when it cuts back to him in the audience from the action, and he's giving games to them, and you're like, damn, this is just like game shows in the 80s, right? This isn't like, it's not a futurized version of game shows, because as we know, game shows have really changed in a lot of different ways. But it is like, okay, what if it was this? What's the next thing? Well, it's just really violent, I guess. But it's everything else is the same. The crowd work is the same. The old ladies are the same. They all love Richard Dawson,
all these old
which is
ladies
funny.
Love like the murder sport, which is pretty funny.
When the woman bets on Ben Richards getting the next kill and says he's a mean motherfucker, that is the best shit.
We've still got two crack stalkers out there, right? Dynamo and Fireball. Who do you think will make the next kill?
Oh, boy. That's a tough one.
Come on, give it a try. You can do it. What do you think?
Okay. I think the next kill will be made by Ben Richards.
Hold it. Agnes. Richards is a runner. You gotta pick a stalker.
I can pick anyone I choose. And I choose Ben Richards. Richards. That boy's one mean motherfucker.
Oh, one thing I don't want to forget this. Briefly, we gotta get back to the dancing girls for one second. I thought it was funny. I don't know if I ever noticed this before, but they do serve one other function other than to horn up the home audience before the killing starts. When they bring Arnold in to seat him into like the little thing that shoots him off into the quadrant, the girls like dance on him. Briefly it's almost like he has to go through the girls first. Like at one moment this girl like lifts her leg up and he like walks underneath her.
Oh, she does
like
such a high kick. I remember that. I literally like gasped. I was like, whoa, that was a high.
Dave's over here trying to figure out how to get on the Running Man.
It's worth it.
But I thought that was funny. It was almost just like, look what you're never going to see anything like this anymore, Ben Richards. Like, soak it all in. You're about to be killed on the Running Man. Like, I was just thinking of, like, the reason that they would do that. It's like, let's have our dancing girls just, like, you know, parade all around him and on him.
Well, it's just, it's the combination of, you know, sex and violence.
Yes.
It's just being like, what if we tie all these desires into people at once and it's going to control them? To what end? I don't know, I guess, like, just for money, but it doesn't seem like people have money, so I don't know exactly what they get out of it, but, yeah.
Well, so I mentioned world building earlier, like, let's talk about,
world burping. World burping.
One thing that kind of struck me in this movie, like, it made me wonder how the game, like, how long it lasts, because they mentioned that no runner or no stalker has ever been killed before, and it seems like a big thing with Richard Dawson is, like, damn it, our ratings are stagnant. We need, like, someone, you know, we need, like, an actual good competitor, and it makes me wonder, what does a typical show of The Running Man look like? Is it just a bunch of rando convicts that, you know, that they just throw in there that are no more strong than the nerdy computer guy? And are they quickly dispatched? Like, what's
the show? I bet
there's
a lot of toying with the victim going on.
Yeah.
And it seems like there's, and I don't know if you knew this, it seems like there might be a lot of running. Because we know that their setup was, oh, the previous season had these winners. And they got through up till Fireball, apparently. So they got to, like, Quadrant 3, which means they must have just, like, run past Sub-Zero. Like, Sub-Zero showed up and they just escaped. So it's a lot of people escaping, not being able to fight, is my understanding of what it would be.
Okay. So that's why everyone's shocked when someone dies. Like, the stalkers aren't supposed to die. Maybe someone gets away, but...
Yes, because you're running. You're running. You're not fighting.
Yeah.
It's like, this person, you know, they ran... They breeze past Quadrant 1. Maybe they didn't get trapped and fall into Sub-Zero's web of ice torture. You know, they get into Quadrant 2 and they get past whoever else is determined. But eventually it's like, okay, well, we got to kill them. So we'll burn them and just deep fake that they escaped. So that's the only thing, is it's like some people are allowed to run away, but nobody dies. Nobody has the ability to fight back. Nobody.
To speak to that, that's so funny that the last year's winners, they don't discard the bodies. They just like leave their burnt corpses somewhere in Quadrant 3 or 4.
They're in like a locker room.
Yeah, what, you got to clean them up? Yeah, yes, very much just a locker room. It is, it's just that.
It's so funny to me. And also, you mentioned Sub-Zero. Something just occurred to me. It's arguably the line I remember most in this movie. Like, here's your Sub-Zero, now Plain Zero.
That's the line you remember the
most.
Well,
I remember it because it's so stupid. But also, Sub-Zero is less than zero. So it doesn't make sense that he says, now Plain Zero.
I have to say, we've been doing a great service, a great disservice to Sub-Zero. We're forgetting he is Professor Sub-Zero.
Oh, that's right.
Professor Sub-Zero, you're absolutely right, Michael. How could we have fucking
Could you explain that for the audience, Mike?
I don't...
What are you expecting to say, David?
What is there
the actor's name begins with, what's his name?
Oh, Professor Toru Tanaka?
Yes.
did he like?
That is awesome.
Did he only agree to do the role if he carried his professional title with him?
Oh boy.
Oh, he's a wrestler. I don't know. So Professor is probably part of.
Oh, is that part of his wrestling name? Probably, okay, he's not an accredited professor.
He's an American professional wrestler. known as Professor Tanaka.
Perfect.
The hell with you.
Well, I mean, what else is there to say? I mean, I guess we could talk about the whole resistance thing. Like, one thing that they...
fuck that. Who cares? Let's talk about your favorite kill.
Okay.
It's Bloodshot, right? It's
the best one. Like, we gotta keep this thing going. No fat to this episode.
I like the, I kind of like Fireball's kill, where he just, like, explodes.
Okay. I mean, that's... All right. Fireball seemed to be, like... Did you get the impression, because there was, you know, they cut back to the locker room. Fireball seemed like he was, like, the most, like, I don't want to get out there. He seemed like he was, like, I don't want to be
I just want to chill the green room.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, for sure. Fireball also seemed like he's, like, the weakest without his gadgets.
Yeah, because he really, like, his as soon as his flamethrower is off, he's...
Oh, God, cool, my right? gas tank!
He can fly around on his jetpack like badass, but as soon as it's broken, Fireball, you're huge, dude. You're jacked, you're tall, like, you could fight Arnold. And it's like, I got nothing.
Yeah. He also felt the most like a Metal Gear Solid boss. Like Fireball.
Okay. David, what was your favorite?
Oof. It's I'm going to say, funnily enough, it was the fake kill where Arnold gets like impaled on like the cage.
Oh, that was a good one. That was good. The deep fake kill.
You know, I will say that I really do like that their choice of, like, at a certain point, they're like, fuck it, we'll just fake the end, because then we do get to see, you know, the fight between Captain Freedom and Arnold go, like, to the brutal end with Arnold and Amber. Like, you know, he fucking kills Amber first thing.
He breaks the neck like a chicken's.
Yeah, dude. Absolutely unhinged that Arnold says that to this woman, that he's fucking... It's like, oh, Arnold's the good guy. I don't know. Is he a good guy? He's holding a hostage.
Literally holding her. He, like, holds her neck the whole way when they're in the airport. It's so unnerving. Yeah.
So why don't you just forget about all this and turn yourself in?
You know, a very negative attitude.
Now remember... I can break your neck like a chicken's.
Yeah, just intense.
Yeah, that scene was like weird. That was like
oh man.
You're not correctly setting up the protagonist vibes with that scene.
Christopher Reeve wouldn't have done that.
Like it basically looks like that's like the if you just see that scene in isolation, like if you were there or something, that's like, do I need to like call somebody? Like do I need to like say something?
It you know, as bad as that scene is, and it does not get you on Arnold Schwarzenegger's side, it does have a payoff later in the movie when she's just like, oh god, we should have just went to Bermuda or whatever, and he has one of my favorite lines in the movie. He's like, he goes, I had the shit, but you fucked it up.
He did have a cool shirt. I liked his like travel shirt.
Speaking of Arnold's looks in the movie, I liked that look with that white hat and he's got like the khaki pants.
Yeah, that was good.
I feel like Arnold has that look a lot. Yes. It's like his personal life. It's vacation. It's like Cuban vacation. Because he's always like giant cigar, which is also, I love that Arnold always is giant cigar. Like,
in the movie.
Exactly. That's my point, is like Arnold characters. Oh, is he going to like look cool? If he's relaxing, he has a giant cigar. That's what Arnold has to have. It's you don't see that.
Part of his like rider on Batman and Robin that he like had to have able to smoke cigars.
Was he backing cigar manufacturers in America?
I mean, he's like, probably just addicted to smoking cigars.
Or just addicted, yeah, I guess.
It's also funny, we mentioned that he has a cigar in a lot of the scenes. Like, later on when the Resistance captures him, he somehow manages to get a cigar. So does that mean that the Resistance just has some cigars lying around? Some nice Cubans? Well,
they have a vaguely South American freedom fighter vibe at times.
That's
so
how they fund their operation.
Cigars.
Bakersfield's finest.
You were gonna say, Cody?
I was going to say, I think I was going to ask, did we ever see what happens with Captain Freedom? Because I was like, oh,
no.
It's because he refuses to fight. He actually never. He's not an like he never fights anybody. They doctor old footage of him fighting. It's not like he says, I'm not going to go out there and fight. And they're like, okay, fight these stunt people. They reuse old footage. But what a disappointment! Because
he should have been the one to walk out at the end, not the security guard.
Yeah, you expect like either some sort of massive like final fight or like maybe he teams up with Arnold kind of thing. And
it is weird that you see him so like it cuts back to him a bunch, seeing what he does, seeing what he reacts, seeing how he reacts, and then he's like, I'm not gonna do it, and then he's just gone. He's gone from the movie. He doesn't like, it's not like I'm not gonna do it and then he has to fight his way out or he joins Arnold, I mean, or whatever.
At the
it's
very
just,
least,
I'm not gonna do it, they say, get out of here.
At the very least, there could have been maybe an extra payoff where you see his dead body, like he was killed or something, and he's thrown in a quadrant. You know, something.
Right. You don't see anything. It's just kind of strange that they just kind of he's gone.
It seems like there could have been a moment where he walks out, he's like, I respect you. You know the code of the gladiators.
Exactly.
Something like that. But instead we get this joke with Sven. I forget his last name. He's the cop in Mallrats. Where he says, I should have turned on the subtitles. I didn't really catch what he said, but it had something to do with steroids. Like, I guess I'll just go and do some steroids then.
He said, sorry, I got to go score more steroids.
Right, right. And he leaves. Yeah. But what's so funny about that is, like, they don't necessarily build that guy up to be a huge force.
A badass at all.
Yeah.
You only just see him around, and then Dawson says, what, do steroids make you deaf? And he's like, he just does the hand gesture to Jesse the Ventura and be like, all right, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
That's it. It's not like we've seen him, like, snap a dude's neck or fold somebody in half.
Or, like, take a golf ball and crush it in his hand or something.
Oh, I mean, no, that would be great. That's kind of a part of it, is, like, this movie has a ton going on in it, but no individual thing is, like, done up as big as it should be. Hmm. I feel like if you're going to make a bombastic movie like this, a dystopian, crazy, ultra-violence, you know, the world's so in the shitter, it's like, go hard, man. Make everybody insane. Make people freaking got, you know, Bane venom juicing them up immediately and their arms explode. Like, do crazy stuff. Make everybody insane.
I doubt this went anywhere, but according to the Chattopedia, apparently at some point in early 2021...
Oh, I was going to say
Paramount was developing a remake, and the director was going to be Edgar Wright. That could be fun.
I don't even know what...
It could be, but Edgar Wright can do better.
Yeah, he 100% can. I'm like, what would his version of this...
Well, but that's what... sometimes we've talked about this in the show, like remakes, where it's just like, don't remake good movies. Remake maybe, like, not-so-great movies that maybe had a fun premise or something that you could expand upon. And I think Running Man would be a good candidate for a remake.
A good, fun, over-the-top
remake.
I do think so. I don't know if Edgar Wright's, like, who I would pick to do it, but...
Although it would definitely be very stylish, and maybe that's what they
I can imagine like the game show portion of it being done really well.
Yeah,
the dancing girls segment would be off the charts.
Oh, Dave.
Well, you know, it's funny.
Well,
like,
I know who I'm not picking to direct the new Running Man.
You know, it's when we watch movies, one thing we always tend to do is like, which character in the movie is us? You know, which character would we be? I think I'm probably one of the guys outside betting on the games and is all horned up looking at the girls like,
I got 200 on the stalkers.
You're betting on the dances and then just leave when the game starts.
You're like, oh, I'm not going to get any more dances tonight. And then you hear one of the stalkers is dead, and you start running back to the thing because you're like, oh, my God, they're going to do the funeral dance. They're going to wear black and dance.
Yes. I love the funeral dance. I never get to see it.
You never get to see
it. I'm so conflicted. The funeral dance is going to be playing, but Climbing for Dollars is on Channel 2 in 5 minutes. What do I do?
Climbing for Dollars look great. I like that show. Climbing for Dollars.
Well, did you guys have any other thoughts on Running Man?
The video, well, I did see from the Chattopedia too, something I want to mention, that the video game Smash TV was like directly influenced by it. Smash TV rules. They should make a Smash TV movie. Smash TV is basically like the Running Man idea, but just more insane. Like it's literally just like you're in... I mean, it's a video game, an old video game, so it's pretty arcadey, but you could expand the idea. But it's basically going from room to room of just, like, murder room to room. And, like, can you survive?
Did you guys ever play the game the video game Manhunt?
I'm aware.
I remember
it.
But, I remember that cover for sure.
Because that game, for one, fucking is insane. It rules. It's what this movie, like, I think I remember when I watched this movie, it was because Manhunt was, like, influenced by it. Because I played Manhunt right when it came out. But Manhunt is very much like, you are a convict, you are a bad guy. You're like on death row because you're a fucking like serial murderer. And then, you know, it's made by Rockstar, so it's like fucking edgy as shit.
Oh, it was a Rockstar game. I didn't know that.
Yes, yeah. It was either made between Grand Theft Auto 3 and Vice City or after Vice City. So it was like their first like first big non-Grand Theft Auto game.
Yeah. I remember that was a game you really had to be strict at the video game store at Game Crazy. Like, you can't sell this to anyone under 17.
Because it's like the you know, it's the whole setup is you're like making this guy, I think voiced by like Brian Cox or something.
Oh wow.
He's making a snuff movie and you're just like a criminal set up in this like derelict city and there's all these gangs and they are paid to kill you. And so it's a stealth game. You have to like sneak up on people and like put plastic bags across their face and like stab their heads in. It's incredibly graphically violent. It's absolutely insane. And it's like, but it's a lot of fun. But
Cody,
it is
you might be
like
on a government watch list now after having played that game.
Yeah, I was on it. I was on it as soon as I was like, Manhunt video, Manhunt kills. How to do kills. Yeah,
I was in the Rockstar game library. I was more of a table tennis guy.
That tracks. Oh man.
Well, one other thing. Cody, what was your favorite kill? Did we not do that?
I think my favorite kill was Buzzsaw. Honestly, I think you might have sold me with the fake Conan, not Conan, excuse me, Arnold kill at the end. Because it's very much like, yeah, jam a guy on a bunch of spikes. Very cool. I'm a fan. I think the Killian kill at the end is almost there when he's shooting down the tube and you see his face like stretching back. Like, that's another thing where it's like, oh, they're almost going to do something wild. Like, either his face is going to rip off or something. And then it's just like, now he crashes through
his own billboard.
Billboard of himself, like, and then explodes.
Yeah, do something. Like, come on. What are we doing here, guys?
Well, we mentioned before we get into recommendations, let's do one more thing here. Favorites. So we mentioned favorite kills. I want to know your guys' favorite unhinged line. The line that when you're watching this movie and someone speaks this bit of dialogue, it caused you to raise an eyebrow.
Definitely the multiple uses of I'll be back, hold for applause.
That was egregious almost. I wrote down a few lines, and I have a few favorites here. But I don't know that these are necessarily outrageous. It was more just like, damn, all right, now we're cooking. And that is when they're talking about uplink, underground. If you guys don't shut up, I'll uplink your ass. Yes. And then I was a big fan of this line. I don't want to be the only asshole in heaven. Yes. Okay. What a fucking cool thing to say to somebody. You're like, what's up? I'm also a bad guy. I don't want to be the only asshole in heaven.
Mike, are you sure there isn't one other line of dialogue in this movie that caused you confusion or just like bafflement?
Is there something I should be saying?
There's a big one on my notes with a big asterisk next to it.
Lay it on us. What is it?
It's when Ben Richards is being led into the games. He has his entertainment lawyer with him, and he happens to walk by Amber, who's at a soda machine that charges $6 for a can of soda. And there's an assistant standing next to her, some person who works there. And she says, man, Cody's shaking his head right now. He knows
sick,
what the line
Dave.
Is.
You're fucking well, no, sick that this is a line you're like, I bet Mike's going to think it's crazy.
Well, no, this is a line where it's just like, I can't believe this was written.
Lucky he didn't kill you, too. Or rape you and kill you. Or kill you then rape you.
Conflicts between your estate and network.
I mean, a guy like that. What would stop him?
Yeah. What would?
Or killed you and raped you. It's just like, oh my God.
It shows you just how fucking twisted everybody in this world
yes!
is. Yes! And maybe no one deserves saving.
And well, like, and like, yeah, like everyone just involved in this game, just like, there, just life is cheap. And it's funny, like, this is not the first time in the summer games that I have said that in regards to one of the movies we've been talking about. That
it's
life
not the first
is
time
cheap.
In the Hot Dave Summer Film Fest I have said life is cheap.
Dave, it's not the first time I've heard you say that around the store.
Now you understand why I'm taking steroids to go deaf?
I don't want to hear this anymore. Shit, Dave.
Just like you know, just like working at the store, I just hear like in my ear, life is cheap.
What if he killed him and raped him? But if he raped him, he killed him. Just like, I'm not listening. I got to return some videotapes.
That scene, when we do see Amber as working at that station, you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me a lot of V for Vendetta.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, that's like a whole angle of V for Vendetta, right? Is
censorship.
Is Evie, like, seeing the truth and then seeing the media change it. And that's like, she's like, oh, this is a lie. And now I'm
I should
totally
probably read
I'm
V for Vendetta someday. Like,
you should. Yeah. It came out in, it was in the 80s, 82. So, you know,
oh, wow.
It wasn't influenced by by Running Man.
I can't imagine Alan Moore enjoying this movie very much.
I would agree, but Alan Moore is such a weird dude that, like, he'll hate everything you recognize as, like, being good.
Sure.
And he's like, fuck all of that. I only watch this thing.
Yeah,
and
you're
like,
right. The Running Man is on a Sight and Sound list, probably.
It's yeah. He's top 10. He's like, The Running Man, it speaks to me.
Well, any other thoughts on The Running Man, or should we get into recommendations?
I've ran all I can.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything else to offer Running Man, unfortunately. I wish I had more, but, you know, it is pretty straight down the middle, honestly.
And yeah, I'll say, like, just because I'm probably the most negative, and I'll just get out of the way, I wouldn't recommend this, and I just think it's, like, it's too similar to these other movies that are so much better. Mm-hmm. Like, watch Total Recall, watch RoboCop, watch Blade Runner. You know, even if you've already seen those, like, rewatch Total Recall, it rules, or like RoboCop or something. Like, I think this movie is, I would say this is for Arnold completionists. It's not like.
Did you not have a fun time watching it, at least? Like,
I kind of enjoyed the first half, but the second half, where honestly, like, the running, I liked it first, but then it sort of felt like that problem where you're like watching the same scene over and over again. Mm-hmm. And I did not. My eyes were sort of like glazing over by the last half of the back half of the movie.
You wish you'd been watching The Hate Boat. That's another thing in the background that we see, the hate boat.
Yeah. Honestly, I would watch Climbing for Dollars.
I think I'm right there with you, Mike. I think I wouldn't recommend this movie just because there are so many other movies, like you said, that do it a version of it better. If you're coming to it for an Arnold movie, there's better Arnold movies. If you're coming for it for a dystopian movie, there's better dystopian movies. If you're coming to it for a sci-fi action movie, there's way better sci-fi action movies. So the only reason you'd settle on it is because you are an Arnold completionist. And if you're an Arnold completionist, you've already watched it. So, like, really, I don't know that it's worth anybody's time to go back and check out. I do think that it even... You know, you talked about it. It feels like a lot of scenes are just kind of over happening again. There's even better movies that are like people escaping from point A to point B. Like Escape from New York is very much we're in this locale, something bad's happening. How do we get out of here? Now we fall into the next thing. They just don't do a good job with that in this. It's just kind of like, all right, and now I guess they're in the second area, and now they're in the second area. And I wonder, you know, if that kind of resistance plot was just like hammered on after the fact to give it some sort of like, no, he should be a good guy and it shouldn't just be he escapes. Like, it should be like some big, because it also feels just kind of tacked on, even though it's the first 40 minutes and the last 20. It feels weirdly not conducive to the whole. I don't know, this movie, it's overall, I'm not gonna recommend it. I don't think it's awful. I think it's probably like a 2.5. It's probably like a 2.5 or 3 stars at best, but it's like, there's just better stuff out there to watch.
You know, it's something you just said occurred to me that, like, one thing that this movie doesn't do well, it doesn't really utilize the location at all. Like, it's just, it just feels like very bland sets.
It feels like a bunch of warehouses. Yeah. It doesn't feel like a destroyed city, which would be so cool. Like, if you saw them, like, climbing down a destroyed double-decker freeway or something, and it's like, oh, there's, like, water dripping down from, like, radioactive flooding and stuff. Like, there's... just not. It's just a lot of cool ideas, nothing executed in any way well.
Yeah, it's like, I think this would be a prime movie for a remake, because you can get into things like that. You could expand on the crazy location that they're in and have fun with that.
I think that's a good idea, yeah.
Having said that, though, I think you guys, you know, I agree with you guys. I think you had some really good points. I think you're right. If you're already an Arnold fan, chances are you've probably already seen this. So if you haven't seen this, and I would say if you're a fan of, like, 80s cheese definitely check it out. I think it excels in that front. But like, I think, like you guys said, there are better movies that did do this basic story, this, you know, better.
That's the tough part of when, as you mentioned, you know, there's so many versions of this story. Then if you're watching it for this story, there's better stuff out there.
I wanted to give this movie, I was, my reaction when we were watching this, and I never put my Letterboxd rating on up before we do the episode, because I always wanted to, you know, be a surprise for you guys anyway. I was going to give it 4 stars, but I think realistically, this is probably a 3-star masterpiece. Like, you know?
Yeah, I have a tough time seeing even masterpiece. Because a 3-star masterpiece is a movie where you're like, this is a movie straight down the middle, but fuck, it does XYZ really good.
Mm.
This movie doesn't do anything really good.
And that's the dancing girls! Okay.
All right.
Paula Abdul!
As long as your Letterboxd review talks about how much you love the dancing girls, I'll be fine with it. Okay. Say, I'm only giving this 4 stars for the dancing girls.
Well, I think that's...
Whoa! Jesus, what the hell?
Hello, cutie pie.
Jana, is that you?
One of us is in deep trouble.
Kara? Jackie? What are you talking about? Have you lost your minds?
Don't play dumb, Dave. You know why we're here.
Yeah, we're here because the summer games that your store is sponsoring has criminally underrepresented the female sports community.
What? What are you talking about? We had the Icebox and Little Giants and Mui from Shaolin Soccer and well, actually, I guess it's really just those two characters.
Exactly. If we didn't rise up against this sausage fest of a film festival, no one would.
What do you want? I'll do anything. Just don't kill me or make me play sports. I'm horribly out of shape.
We know, Dave. That's not what we had in mind, though. Be funny watching you try to run the bases.
Run the bases?
That's right. We're taking this game into extra innings, crap face.
Yeah, because when the summer games return, we'll have a league of their own. Our own. A league of our own. If you get it.
To be continued.
Condition. And now, back to Climbing for Dollars.